Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys are having a good week. We kind of got a little storm here in Hicks, Louisiana. So you may hear the thunder and the lighting as I give this sermon tonight. And hopefully the power will stay on and I can finish this out. I took a break last week, and I preached on salvation. See, salvation is very important, but we're doing a series sermon here on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we already went over love, joy, and peace, which are very important. But the most important thing to understand is salvation, because it goes together. Once we are part of the kingdom of God, then we should have fruit in our lives. And this is a series sermon, and I'm breaking down the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you could, on my website, you can stroll up or down. I can't remember it's up or down, but you'll come across the first few sermons on the fruit of Holy Spirit, and that I talk about the fruit, which is Galatians 5:16-26, and then of course Matthew 7:16-20. You'll notice in verse 16 it speaks of fruits, and I kind of give a distinction there. I know sometimes this can get a little confusing looking at it, but the most important part is our lives should reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, I like to do early in the morning, I like to pray. Part of my prayer is, Lord, let my life today reflect your love. Lord, let my life today reflect your peace and your joy and your meekness and, yes, you know, the temperance and the faith. And I pray that every day, that my life, because believe it or not, people are watching us, guys. They're watching us and they're seeing if there's something different about us. And that's very important. And in this series sermon, I've been going over Galatians 5:16-26. I've been kind of reading it. And then Matthew 7:16-20, I'm reading it. So what I'm going to do, we're just going to read it. And then we'll go into prayer. And then we'll talk a little bit about the next fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that is long-suffering. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. Verse 16, Paul tells us, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew 7:16-20. That's Matthew 7:16-20. You know, Ye shall know them by their fruits. Did men gather grapes or thorns? Grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down, that means it's cut down, and is cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, thanking you for our opportunity once again to go into your word, to bring this topic to mind of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe the church has lost the understanding that our lives should bear fruit within this, within our discipleship, within our growing, that our life should be different and our fruit should define us, not because of anything special, but because the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us produces these fruits, this fruit. Lord, I pray, Lord, I don't know who's listening to this. I don't know who's out there that may be hurting, Lord. I pray, Lord, I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray you know where they're at. You know what's going on. I pray within your design, within your will, you guide and direct their steps, Lord. I pray there's anybody that out there that needs salvation or don't understand it, that they reach out to me or reach out to somebody that is preaching the truth about salvation, not a half truth, the full truth. The cost that is involved in it, but the joy unspeakable when you come for your church, Lord. It will all be worth it. As we pray in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. You know, we look at, you guys maybe just kind of tuning in, and I went over love. Man, that thunder's really roaring, right? And love, that, and that's agape love, guys. That's a unadulterated, a genuine, a pure love that was seen at the cross. The love, the blood that was poured at Calvary, because he loved us so much. That is agape love. And that's the love that we should be shown in our life. And the joy we went over, and I like to think of joy as the J-O-U, Jesus over you. The joy that we experience is not based on our circumstances. It's based that Jesus is the ruler of our life, and that he one day will come back for us, regardless of what we're going through today or tomorrow. And we went over peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding, right, guys? A peace when that storm hits and it's rocking you. And I gave the example of the disciples in the boat. And these thunderstorms came. And the rain fell. And the boat was filling up. And Jesus was there sleeping, right? And they were freaking out. And they're like, don't you care that we die? Of course, I'm paraphrasing. He woke up, he rebuked that storm, that physical storm. He rebuked that storm that was inside them because they didn't have that peace. That peace, regardless of what we're going through in our lives. You know, I have struggled with peace. And of course, you can look at that whole sermon that I preached on peace, is really getting my head around the circumstances around me shouldn't define me. They shouldn't define me. I'm a child of God regardless what I'm going through. And that God has me and he has us and he has you tonight, wherever you're at, that you may need to hear this message. And today, or tonight, we're looking at long-suffering. I don't know if you really look at the long-suffering, you know, kind of bouncing that term back and forth in your mind. I mean, it can sound kind of haunting, something that is long and suffering, right? You may have seen movies where that people or person, they're going through some pain, a painful situation or challenge that have created so much fear in their hearts. That we look at their situation, we're like, oh, I hope I never go through that. It could be losing a loved one, losing a job. It could be getting in an accident and losing your legs, your hands, or your arms. It could be a cancer. Life can hit us with all kind of things. But as we look at today's world, it seems like from birth to adulthood, we're kind of inundated with avoiding long, painful situations and challenges that could bring us to our knees. We live in a society where they'll do anything they can to escape suffering. We don't want to wait on anything for long periods of time. We want everything on demand, instant gratification. We are conditioned to take the easy way out if we're given the opportunity. Long suffering, guys. You see, we sometimes suffer based off our own choices. I know in my past I've made a ton of mistakes and probably still will make more. I pray, you know, that I lean more on God now than I did when I was young. Putting myself in situations, running from God 20 plus years, hitting rock bottom, being placed in a hospital for a period of time, not feeling like a man, feeling broken to pieces. I look at, kind of think of a glass vase. You know, and just throw it on the ground and it shatters in 1,000 pieces. That's how I felt. God had to get my attention. I made a lot of stupid mistakes. A lot of it could have been avoided if I would just listen to the guidance of God on my life to preach the gospel and do the service that He has me doing now. I thank Him for just keeping me alive so I can now do that. My heart is heavy and to preach the message out to this world. And it may cost us a lot for us over with when you look at the landscape of America. And the pulling away from God and everything that's holy about Him. We can suffer for our own reasons. But when you look at the entirety of long suffering in our nation, they want to avoid it. They don't want the cost of anything. You know, as Christians, children of God, you know, our mindset should not be the same. Yes, you could be like me and made a bunch of crazy decisions that now that you kind of got to live with. But the beautiful thing about being a child of God, the Holy Spirit inside you will guide you and will direct you, and he will comfort you in those times of pain if you let him. And this mindset that the world has on avoiding suffering. See, we have to unlearn a lot of things that we've been inundated with, that this world has taught us. We have to learn how to walk more in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us to whatever cost it may be, to live a life true to God. When this world truly hates Christians that stand up for the Word of God. I'm not talking about the professing. When I say professing Christians, I'm talking about the ones that profess something they're not. The world loves those. You'll see a lot of big name preachers out there. And the list is it's growing and growing. I guess Joel Osteen is probably one of the top, because he's the top pastor, or he's the top church. He's the mega church. He's the biggest church in America. And he doesn't teach the truth. If you don't know Joel Osteen, or if you're part of the Joel Osteen, I'm not. My heart hurts for the man, and he's in my prayers. I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm trying to tell you, warning the truth. I pray that he's not doing it deliberately. But he says there's many ways to Jesus that contradict Scripture, guys. Because Jesus said, I am the only way. He is the only way. And that's just one thing Joel Osteen teaches. It's false. It doesn't line up with Jesus' teaching. It's a false teaching. Therefore, the false teaching, he is a false teacher, a false preacher. But we have to unlearn what the world has taught us. And we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. And we will have to suffer in this lifetime. But in our minds, I mean, it can feel like it's really long. But to God, it's nothing. Because he's coming back for us soon, guys. How much persecution America will experience before he comes back. It could get pretty rough. I don't want to be a bearer of bad news. It shouldn't really be bad news. If you look at the disciples, they suffer greatly. Look at Paul. Look at Peter. Look at James. They suffer greatly, but they count it all joy. You know, I came across an illustration. It's kind of long, but it kind of touched my heart, and I like to read it to you guys. There was a woman. She was a wife to a pastor, mother to 5 children, but her marriage was falling apart. And her husband did not care about her. And here's one of her cries. Many of us face hardships in our marriage. But we must never give up on God. Although the valley seems dark, it appears that we are in trouble on every side, distressed, persecuted, and cast down. But in the eyes of our faithful God, we are not distressed, not in despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. And she got the quote here from 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are loved by God, and he desires that we live the abundant life. His abundant life only comes from dying to self and a living for Christ. He is a God that loves to have his children bear fruit. It's not the same fruit that the world bears, that of financial wealth and material things, but the wealth that never rusts, never passes away, the fruit of the Spirit. Through the many trials of my life and the one I'm currently in, I know that all is Father filtered. He's pruning me that I am beginning to bring forth fruit, that precious fruit, the fruit of long suffering, has been the most painful to bear. And I will resist the process many days. I'm beginning to see the blossom. And one day this fruit will be evident for all to see. And she wrote this poem, guys, during this time, the trial and tribulation. It goes like this. As the sun sets each day, the night bears despair. Somewhere in the darkness, my night has disappeared. The road and the battle have been long and tough. Only those in darkness begin to enjoy the lack of trust. The knight that once rode up on the valid white horse is lost somewhere in the darkness and appears distraught. The one who he wed searches for the one that was true, only to find the shadows of them she knew once knew. Her heart is broken, her head begins to spin as she feels the enemy approach, peering to win. The maiden has turned older, a bit weary. Wisdom equipped by her loved one has gone. She sees his shiny armor only her days as she danced there and with the man that used to call her queen. Her younger maddened maiden in the land has taught her husband's eyes. And the screams you hear are of dreams that want to live but only seems to die. The screams are silent many times as she sees him look at her for that valiant knight who has drifted far from her. The old maiden used to feel that love was worth he while she would sail off with him and never, ever cry. Time has passed, seasons changed, the night will not last forever. One day the old man will awake with hope bound in her heart, looking from the past to a brand new start. The days grow cold and the scream seems to linger, but the maiden knows that it will not always be December. The winter will pass, the screams will go away, and the maiden will rise with the promise of a new day. As God promised, his promises is bigger than the pain. And her latter dreams became true. God's promise to embrace the trials and tribulations that caused her disgrace. Trials and tribulations have made her strong. Her screams will turn into laughter as the pain turns into song. Morning comes alive with promise of a new day. Weeping has turned to joy in a more excellent way. God loves her. God's love has overcome. The birds begin to fly. The wind begin to whisper a familiar lullaby. Never give up will be the words that the Holy Spirit imparts, and that darkness now has turned to day as the promises embark. Long suffering has blossomed. A new beginning is made. God promises are certain, and this is a new day. That's a touching poem. You can see this lady was going through a rough time. It's one of those times that brought her to her knees. And she was experiencing this for a while. But she realized through all of this, God was shaping her, guiding her, directing her through this pain. You see, we'll suffer in this life. Looking more closely, the true Christian standing up for the Word of God, we will suffer. I was thinking of Paul and Silas in Acts, and they were beaten and they stripped down. They were thrown into a prison. And at midnight hour, they prayed and gave God the glory. They understood that this life, that they had to suffer, but they were, they said, you just listen, you read them, and it's like, wow, but it was okay. And if you want to just look at the cross and Jesus, He suffered greatly on that cross. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus had to suffer a horrible death. One that I would say today is still horrible, the scourging and the crucifixion. And he understands the pain. He understands the challenges. And he lives in each and every one of us. See, long-suffering grows us. And we, because of this long-suffering, and this is the fruit, and the fruit brings forth. You look at Matthew 7, it speaks of fruits bring forth. And some of these fruits are patience, endurance. Some people take long-suffering and say, well, that's another word for patience. No, it's a byproduct, meaning it brings forth patience. It brings forth endurance. It's actually a fruits of a fruit. You know, Paul, he in Romans 5:3-5 tells us, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also known tribulations, work patience, and patience experience hope. Verse 5, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's through long suffering we get the patience. It's because that patience we're having that experience, and because we are when we're in that moment, in that growing of our long suffering, and the patience is growing, we understand where our true hope lies. 1 Timothy 1:16 tells us, howbeit for this cause I'll obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show for all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. For a pattern, guys. I know a message like this won't make me popular. We will suffer for God. As we wrap this fruit up, the Holy Spirit helps us during our times of trials and tribulations. Long suffering should not be frowned on. We should give God the glory and the honor to suffer. And if it comes to us dying for the cause of Christ, we should count it all joy for the opportunity to stand when nobody else wants to stand. I'll tell you, there's a time coming. I don't know how bad it's going to get in America, but if you look in the third world countries, it's already there. There are people that are being tortured, that are being killed, that are being raped for the name of Jesus. And they still stand, and they're suffering, and they're long suffering. America don't really understand that yet. That we'll have to suffer one day. We may be suffering a little bit now. But when we're in that moment of suffering, it's long, it's hard, and it's challenging. We give it to Jesus. We give it all to him. And he will help us. Because he tells us he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Long suffering. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And a good tree will bring forth good fruit. Good fruit of the Holy Spirit. The long suffering brings the patience. It brings the endurance. It brings the confidence. It brings the boldness to proclaim a truth to this world that's lost, especially in America. We have lost our concept of biblical truth. Our churches are not preaching. Majority of the churches in America is not preaching the truth of the gospel. It's half-truths. One day, soon, those churches will have the answer for what they're teaching. We should be very prayerful for the churches out there that are not teaching the Word of God. Put their names on your prayer list and pray over them that God opens their eyes. You can pray aggressive prayers. You know somebody that's preaching a false teaching. You can pray, Lord, open their eyes to the truth. And they're being misleading people. You handle them if they are deliberately doing it. Guys, I love y'all. As we close this out with prayer, I want to encourage you guys, just hit me up on Facebook, hit me up on my website, call me, text me if you have any questions or you have any prayer requests. Heavenly Father, as we just close this sermon out tonight, I pray, Lord, the Spirit move within me to speak the words that you need me to preach tonight to whoever out there needs to hear the message about long suffering. Know that it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it brings forth the patience, it brings forth the endurance that we need within this journey in life. I pray those that are going through things in life, Lord, I pray that this message gets to them and that they realize they're not alone. If they're not a child of God, Lord, I pray that somehow someone through a podcast, who physically being there to a Christian song, reaches their heart and our dream, Lord, you can operate through any means. Our heart should be out there for the lost. Time is wrapping up. It's getting close to your return. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our hearts, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, we just open them all up and we be the church. We be your people that will stand against adversity. That we will say we need to bring God back into the schools. We need to bring God back into our businesses. We need to bring God back into our homes. We need to bring God back to the area, our community, Lord. Let a revival rip through America. A true revival with a true gospel being preached. Not an emotional response, but a realization of a battle, of a war that's occurring all around us, and that we were preparing for war as soldiers, not as children, not as babies, but as people of God that will stand and will say, I will stand for the word of God regardless what it may cost me. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.